This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
It's not only important to be in a good mental state for yourself and for those around you and just to live a productive, healthy life. It may also be important to be in a good mental state to prevent other things from inching their way in and maybe taking hold, making your life more miserable than it needs to be, causing fear, anxiety, depression. Now, of course, all those things can take hold without the assistance of anything paranormal or supernatural. But in many cases, we hear folks who already suffer from those states, which is already tremendously difficult to deal with. And it seems like a ton of bricks gets added right on top, and we don't know why. The only thing that we can look at is sometimes there's evidence that there's something else happening beyond just what we're feeling on the inside. And then when we're able to pop out of those states and we're able to get to better places and we're able to crawl out of those dark depths that our minds can take us to, sometimes those other things seem to go away. It oftentimes points to the dark things feeding on the dark things that sometimes we create or we find ourselves in. Staying mentally healthy is incredibly important, as you'll find out in this next story. Take a listen. I have a story that I've not told a lot of people because I sound literally insane when I tell it. I get nervous anytime I talk about it. But this is a true story. And many of my friends and family have witnessed it. I'm going to start with the beginning, which starts many years ago when I was somewhere between 5 and 6 years old. This is going to be a long story, so bear with me. I live in Franklin, Kentucky, in a house my mother and father built themselves in a large plot of land way outside of town on a street called Salem Road. Creepy in and of itself. I remember I had gotten in trouble and was told to wait in my room for my father to come home. It was Sunday. He was a minister and was guest speaking at a church that night. I was sitting on my bed, which was next to the window in front of the house. We had a wraparound porch that my window looked out on. We had a mile-long driveway, so I couldn't see the road from there either. I was playing with my dolls on my bed, and I heard something like something had bumped my window, which the blinds were open. We had a Rottweiler that stayed outside, so I thought it was her. So I looked at the window and saw the shape of a head. It looked like a human head. So I went to go closer so I could see it better. And to my surprise, it quickly moved out of sight. I started screaming. Ran out of my room to tell my mom, and she thought I was making it up to get out of trouble. So I begged her to go outside and look. So she went out with a flashlight, walked across the porch, and she looked at my window and saw the smudges from a face that had been pressed against my window. She ran inside and locked the door and called my father, who came home immediately. He grabbed a gun and walked the property looking for footsteps or any sign of someone being on the property. It had been raining all day, and the land around our house was all mud from the construction work from building the house. No grass had grown back yet. He found nothing. No footsteps other than his own. This was the first event. Fast forward 4 years, we had moved to McAllister, Oklahoma. My best friend and I had built a fort in the back room out of couch cushions and sheets and gotten permission to sleep there that night. I woke up to a noise that sounded like a tapping. The sun was barely up, so it was still rather dark. The computer room was connected to the kitchen. I saw the shape of someone peeking around the corner of the wall from the far end of the kitchen. Laundry was on that wall, so I thought maybe it was clothes that were hung up. I woke my friend because I felt nervous. She looked and got scared too because she agreed it looked like someone peeking around looking at us. So we yelled out, thinking maybe it was my brother trying to creep us out, but there was no response. So I got up, slowly started walking towards the light switch. When I flicked the light on, the figure was gone. We both, of course, started screaming. Being only 9 to 10 years old, my brother woke up and ran into the room, and when we told him what happened, he thought we were making it up, and swore it was not him, that he was sleeping, and was mad at us for waking him up. Fast forward another 4 years, this is where it gets really terrifying. I was about 14 to 15 years old, a freshman in high school. Same house as the previous story. My brother was in the computer room and I was loading the dishwasher in the kitchen. My mom was getting dinner ready. My parents had gotten a divorce 2 years prior and my father moved to Illinois, which had pretty much emotionally destroyed my family. The rise in bad emotions is what I believe escalated these events. My mom had gone to the bathroom and I had turned to put a dish in the dishwasher. And out of the corner of my right eye, I saw someone approach me. I thought it was my mom, so I turned towards it. Don't remember exactly what the man looked like, but I specifically remember a light blue suit and a light blue hat coming towards me. I started screaming and dropped the dish, which shattered on the floor, and the man disappeared. My mother came running, said to my brother. They asked me what was wrong. When I told them, my mother told me I needed to pray more because I was obviously inviting evil into the house. My parents were always super religious, and I recently admitted to my mother that I no longer believe in God. So after getting no support from my mother, I took matters into my own hands. I did some research on a Ouija board. I decided to make my own. I drew everything myself, turned off all the electronics in my room, had a cup of water because I read it helped spirits be able to communicate easier, and I lit a candle so that I could see. I placed my fingers on a small plastic container I was using as a planchette or whatever they were called, and I asked if anyone was there, and I waited. I got no answer, so I put it away and went to bed. The next day at school, I told my best friend, Laura Bonham, she lives in Eureka Springs, Arkansas now, about what had been happening throughout my life, and that I had a Ouija board, but it did not work. She admitted to being extremely interested in that kind of stuff and wanted to come over and do it with me. So that night she came over, and I waited for everyone to go to bed. We got it out. I asked if anyone was there, and it went to yes. I instantly thought it was her because nothing had happened when I first used it. She swore it was not her, and we continued. I asked if it had been following me, and it went to yes again. So I was sure it was Laura at this point. She decided to make sure it was not us. I asked a question that Laura would not know, and Laura asked a question that I would not know, and the board answered both times correctly. I cannot remember exactly what the questions were, but Laura might. So I asked how long it had been following me, and it spelled out long. I asked it why it was following me, and it spelled out family. At this point, I think it's important to mention that my great aunts and my great grandmother used to practice witchcraft and were very deep into it until something happened during a seance in a graveyard, and they stopped. They never told us what happened. This is on my mother's side. My father's parental side was Spanish gypsies who were also into witchcraft, so you can understand how this answer frightened me. So I asked what it wanted, which point it spelled out hurt. We heard movement from under my bed. We were sitting on the floor in the corner of my room. I wanted to put it up because I was horrified at this point, but Laura wanted to ask it another question. She asked if that was it making the noise under the bed, and it went to yes. We started hearing scratching noises, like someone scratching at the underneath of the bottom mattress. We decided that was enough and put it away and went and smoked, calmed down, and went to bed. The next morning, we told my brother, Jacob, and his friend Jonathan. They told me they wanted to do it with us that night. We were hesitant because we were so scared, but we agreed. So that night, I set everything up. We sat at that same spot on my floor with it. I said, Ouija, Ouija, is anybody there? No answer. So I repeated it again. No answer. I started to say it again, and I felt very strange feeling, like something was pulling energy from me. And I heard the most god-awful noise. It sounded like a mixture of a blood-curdling scream and nails on a chalkboard coming from the wall by where we were sitting. I had a black light in my room and a black light poster nailed to the wall next to us. We saw the bottom two nails pull out of the wall and the poster shot straight out, just floating. The fan was not on. My house had no AC, no breeze. We were all frozen. I could not move at all and felt slightly dizzy. Then suddenly my circle, the state with the song plaque that I had won in a competition that was hung on the wall behind us, shot across the room. It left a dent in the wall, and we all took off running out, trying to squeeze through my tiny doorway at the same time. My brother got mad at us, or so I thought, and he and his friend got in the car and left us there. When he came back, he was pale, and he looked horrified, more so than when he left. We got the Ouija board, lit our fire pit outside, and threw it in there without saying goodbye, which later I found out was the wrong thing to do. Shortly after, my mother came home and saw us all sitting around the fire crying. I instantly told her everything. She called our pastor to come over and say a prayer and bless my room with holy water. I later found out that my mom had heard my friend and me playing with the Ouija board the night before and planned with my brother to prank us and teach us a lesson. She tied a string to my poster and ran it through my window and closed the window on it and was standing outside. Her plan was to pull on the string and knock the poster down to scare us, but when she pulled on the string, it snapped in half, and it just fell to her hand. A couple of moments after that, she heard us screaming, and she ran around to the front of the house. When my brother had driven off, he called my mom to ask her how she did all of that, and they were both horrified when she told him how her plan went wrong. That night, my friend and I were sitting on my bed after everything, and the bed started shaking, so we took off out of the room. It was an earthquake, but still, it was ironic timing. I slept with my mom that night. The next morning, I had to go to my room to get ready for church. I had some sheet music on the floor. I played the flute in the band, and I saw a piece of it float up and flip over and slam onto the ground. I got up and ran out screaming. A few weeks later, my friend Brianna, who was staying the night, we were lying in bed with only the black light on, and suddenly the black light turned off. Considering everything that happened, we were terrified and yelled for my mom, and when she came in, she said the bulb probably went out. She went to check it and saw the switch slides up to turn on and down to turn off. Not the easiest thing to move, but it had been pushed down to the off position. A few weeks after that, my friend Cassie Fletcher was spending the night. We both woke up to a horrifying scream. At first, I thought we had both dreamed it until we heard it again. I tried to call my mom and she did not answer, so we yelled for her, and finally she came running in and asked what was wrong, and we told her what happened. She had not heard anything but us yelling. The next day we asked my brother and he had not heard anything either. I had nightmares every night. Once a nightmare I remember I was stuck on the ceiling while my brother was possessed and murdering my whole family. Another nightmare. I still wonder if it was a dream at all. I find comfort in thinking it was a dream. I was lying in bed and woke up to my blankets being pulled at. When I tried to pull them back, they were yanked off me. I woke up to find my blankets lying on the floor. Something else had happened while I was awake. I was in my bathroom washing my face. My hairdryer was hanging on the wall and it started spinning on its own. So I got brave, grabbed and started shaking it and yelled, "See, I can do it too. You're nothing special." Because I was so irritated from everything that had been happening. I had a stand-up shower next to me on the opposite side of my hairdryer, so my back was facing it. And I had soaps and shampoo bottles sitting on the shelves in the shower, and everything all at once slammed onto the ground. I ran out. Another time I was home alone and heard men talking in my house. I got so scared I waited outside for 3 hours for my brother to come home. Another time while we were out, when we came home, I walked into my room and my room had been destroyed. Mattresses flipped across the room, dresser drawers pulled out, clothes thrown off the hooks from the closet. It was a disaster. We thought someone had broken in, but nothing was taken. And no other room was touched. 4 months after, we played with the Ouija board while I was in Tennessee visiting my long-distance boyfriend. I got a call from my mom. Well, she was at Walmart. My brother had moved out. Our house caught on fire. No one was hurt, but we could no longer live there because of all the smoke damage and structural damage. The firefighters could not locate the source of the fire, but most of the damage was in my bedroom. So they believe it started there. I've been gone for 2 weeks, and no one had been in my room during that time. It sounds like the end of the story, but it's not. We had to go stay at my stepdad's mother's house, and she stayed with her boyfriend in another house, so my mom and her husband redid his house so we could move there. I'd hear footsteps walk up to my bedroom door and walk away when I was home alone. One night I woke with sleep paralysis and saw a figure staring at me through the top of my window. It was 8 feet off the ground. I couldn't move. Couldn't scream. Could not close my eyes. I could only stare at it. I tried saying the Lord's Prayer in my head, but could not. Finally, I got out a scream and my mom ran in and the figure was gone. And I could finally move again. I was about 16 at the time. Another time I woke up to a deep, scratchy voice yelling my name from my bedroom door and turned my head because I thought it was my mom, because sometimes she'd say my name in a deep voice and wake me up, and once again, sleep paralysis. I was frozen with my head turned. No one was there. I had an open laptop next to me because I played Spotify music to sleep because the silence terrified me. The laptop suddenly lit up, and the cruiser on the screen started moving around on its own. I could not move, could not scream. Once again, I tried to say the Lord's Prayer in my head, and once again, I could not. Finally, I could muster out a scream, and as soon as my mom came in, I could move again. That night, my mom stayed up with me because I was too terrified to go back to sleep and too terrified to be alone. After we moved into my stepdad's house, I continued to hear footsteps to my door, going back like someone was pacing when I was home alone. And one day I woke up to a knock at the door, and it was the police. Someone had called 911. It showed up from my address, and it was just someone crying. They hung up. I let them search my home, but I was home alone. Checked my phone, and there was no outgoing calls made that day. Cop checked my neighbor's homes as well, but the source of the call was never discovered. Extraordinarily little happens after this. Not sure if it's because I got older or because I moved out on my own and my emotional health improved, or because I did my best to stop entertaining the fear. But in the house I moved into with my boyfriend at the time, the water faucet turned on itself. But I instructed him to turn it off, not to let it bother him, to pretend it was normal. Another time, my boyfriend worked overnights. My boyfriend came home at 6 a.m. and went to the back room where laundry was to put his uniform in the washer. He was a prison guard. The back door was wide open. We never used the back door and kept it locked, so we rushed to the bedroom to check on me and our infant daughter, but we were sound asleep in bed. Nothing was taken. Nothing looked like it had been touched. A few years later, I moved into an older house with my father and stepmom in Waupaca, Wisconsin. We would all hear banging and footsteps from upstairs when everyone else was downstairs, but it was an old house, so it could have been anything, honestly. It's been 2 years since anything happened. I'm 23 now. I do worry that if I ever go into the dark mental state I was in when all this stuff went down, that it'll return. But hopefully it's gone. It will stay gone. I listen to your podcast a lot because I know there's something out there that we do not understand. We don't know much about. Everything I told you is a fact. There have been multiple witnesses to my haunting. If you do reach out to anyone about this story, ask my brother Jake about what happened when he and Johnny played with the Ouija board after we did. He did it with his girlfriend and Johnny. I was not there, but he said his girlfriend started looking like she was possessed. Her ankle twisted all the way around and broke. Johnny got so scared he called his mom to come get him. It was in the middle of the night, and my brother had to take his girlfriend to the ER. I saw her in crutches and the cast and asked what happened, and they told me. Johnny was not allowed to hang out with my brother anymore after that. Her story is true, however. Insane it all sounds. I think it's important that no matter how many odd things start happening to you, you do not pay any notice to it, because once you notice them, they start noticing you, and that's when things get bad.
Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories.